Be Breast Aware with Aware Self-Examination Kit, sponsors of the Mother and Daughter Breast of Friends podcast.
Breast of Friends podcast on tour. Yes, again, it is me, Becky Measures. I've left the old mother at home at the moment while I just go out and about and meet different people. I have to excuse my voice. I've been suffering really badly with a bad cold, but I'm getting over the other side of it, and I was very excited to be where I am today. And we was talking about this, and that with this podcast, when we sort of first started it, we knew what our intention was, and, you know, ultimately, I wanted it to be about me and Mum having a nice time and enjoying life and embracing different things. And if we could use that and help to raise awareness and to spread the word and ultimately as well share Mum's story, then brilliant. But what it has now led to as well is us sort of meeting again with people that we've had a lot to do with over the years. We're meeting new people as well. And I'm just really excited as to where this is going. And I've had to do a lot of sort of looking back and taking in really kind of the achievements that we've had and the things that we've done. And I've got to say, you know, I am very proud of what we've achieved. And it's led us back again to again sort of being back with these people that have been hugely instrumental in some of the campaigns that we've done. And I introduced you right at the very beginning, but we didn't get a chance to talk to her. When we were having our photo shoot and we were first sort of sat down to do the first episode of the podcast, I talked about a lady called Jo, and Jo owns a company called Model Mentor. And I'm back with Jo again now. Hello, gorgeous.
Hi, Becky. Lovely to be with you again.
Oh, it's so wonderful to be back with you. And do you know what? I'm not going to get emotional, but I kind of am. Because as I was just saying there, I have been going back sort of through the archives and looking back at some of the stuff that we've done over the years. And it's always a case, isn't it, in life, that it's always the next thing. What we're doing next. And don't ever really sort of breathe in the now. And we have done some amazing things together. Jo, you have seen me through so many different generations of my life.
I certainly have, yeah. With not many layers on as well. Stripped back.
So let me just sort of introduce you as to why I first ever met Jo. I was working at a radio station called Peak FM. And at the time, we used to do a naked calendar each year to raise money for various different charities. And I remember Jo first coming to the radio station and really, really wanting to be a part of it. And you just set up, hadn't you?
Yeah, we were really new when we first time we met. And so for us, it was a really, really exciting project. Loved your enthusiasm, loved the whole idea of the calendar. So it was amazing to be part of it.
And of course, you know, you've been a model yourself for many, many years. How old were you when you started?
17, just a baby. Yes, I've been in the industry a long time, having photos taken of myself, but taking photos of other people too.
So what made you want to start your own business? What made you want to sort of basically, she kind of stepped away from the camera yourself, didn't you? To, and again, this is what I always think, that we're always drawn back to the people that are very similar. You were also wanting to platform others, and you wanted to make sure that you could do it in a way where they were safe and they were looked after.
Yeah, most definitely. So like I say, I modelled myself from 17, from being 17, and I got to, I think it was late 20s, early 30s, and I started rethinking things, you know, what else can I do, what more can I do? And I had had people coming to me for all my modelling days, all my years, saying, you know, how do you do this? How do you get into it? I've heard of so-and-so and they're offering me this. And I'd be like, no, you know, don't go near those people. And I'd be offering people good advice, steering them away from the bad people in the business. And I thought, you know what, I need to do this for a job. I need to help people get into this industry to do it safely and to be not shelling out thousands of pounds for unnecessary tools to be in the industry.
Because you would see them all the time, wouldn't you? I'm not gonna lie, I fell for one myself once. Mm. Right, it was like, come and have your photos taken. That's totally free. And then if we think you're good enough, we'll offer you a modelling contract. But then at the end of it, you've got to pay so many thousands of pounds for a portfolio. I mean, it was just rubbish.
Yeah, I mean, it's awful to see. We get lots of people get in touch with us. They've spent thousands of pounds on a portfolio and also, you know, had a lot of false promises made to them, a lot of lies told, a lot of fake kind of enthusiasm pumped into them. And it's really upsetting to see. You know, they go to these companies, they spend all this money, and then the images they've got aren't actually taken by industry professionals. So then the images aren't any good for using in the profession. So, you know, we try to get in there first, trying to get our message out. You know, we're regularly blogging and making posts on our social media, trying to steer people in the right direction and help them get into the industry safely, whether that be with us or with another reputable company.
And again, I always say this, if your intention is right, it will always come good in the end. And your intention is absolutely bob on. And over the years, you know, you have really looked after us, whether it's be the radio station, but the biggest thing that we ever did together. And again, I was looking at it the other day and I was thinking, this, it was always, always my dream, right? When I had my preventative mastectomy, I couldn't find any pictures anywhere of people my age that had had the operation that I'd had, because it didn't exist, because I was the youngest at the time, right? And when I came round from surgery, and you can ask any of the doctors this, when I came round from surgery, I was like, honestly, I was like on cloud nine, right? Not only had I woken up feeling absolutely great and being risk-free, I had a cracking set of tits, to be fair. Do you know what I mean? And I literally couldn't wait to show them to people. And, you know, at first, yeah, okay, it probably was a bit about myself and my own sort of self-esteem, but I realised how much people got out of it. Mm. I used to have people travel, and I'm not joking, like travel miles just to come and see and feel my boobs. Mm. And it was good because it meant so much.
You know, why not? It is all about your self-esteem, and why not, you know, be proud of what you've achieved, be proud of your new boobs, you know, embrace it, you know, it's the best way to be. And absolutely wonderful that you had that positivity and that you helped other people to also feel the same way.
Thank you. And I'd always take that, you know, I've got in my own backs of buses and all sorts, it's very random, but ultimately as well, I had this idea with some of the other ladies that had been using Mum's Helpline over the years, or that had benefited, because my surgery was also, and my journey was also followed by The Tonight Show with Trevor MacDonald. I had a lot of ladies that benefited from that and then ultimately went on to have surgery. And I said, wouldn't it be good if we could have a Bracca Peebs calendar? Mm. And I started off with this sort of like little idea, and then everybody else was like, yeah, I want to do it. Mm. And then it took me to have a baby. I don't know why. It took me to have a baby and have some bit of downtime. Downtime when you've had a baby?
Yeah,
load of rubbish,
yeah.
To go, right, we're going to do it. And you, my darling, proper got behind that and gave your time and makeup artist. You gave everything to produce what was the Bracca Babes calendar. It was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was amazing to be part of it. And I think what we produced was actually, it was really stunning, and it was really special for everyone involved. You know, everybody loved being part of it. In fact, you were just inundated with people that did want to be involved, weren't you?
Yeah.
It's not like you struggled to get people that, you know, wanted to take part. It was absolutely lovely, and I think we should read it. We need to do it again.
Oh, I knew she was going to say that. I knew she was going to say that. Well, I feel the little murmurings.
I feel it too.
There's definitely something that is going to happen.
Yeah.
And as I say, you know, we spent sort of 2 days shooting that. And with anything, like, Jo, you know, you don't have a connection.
No,
to hereditary breast cancer.
I don't have a connection to hereditary breast cancer. However, I did go through life-changing surgery. I was 26 years old and I had an emergency hysterectomy. So I definitely understood a lot of what you and other women that took part were going through. You know, it's such a big thing to lose a part of you. And it's not just a part of you, but it's a part of your femininity, really, isn't it? It's a sex organ, you know. And to lose that completely and to have your life change, you know, and for me with the hysterectomy, and it meant no more children, and only 26 years old, that was hard. And, you know, I do feel on that level I can relate. And another reason why this is so important to me is I get that.
Babe, I need to tell you something, right? And I don't know whether there'll be people listening to this that feels the same. Take my breasts any day of the week. When I had my hoophorectomy, so I didn't have a full hysterectomy, I just had my ovaries removed. That was only a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. The decision was the hardest, because like you said about not having any more children. And the after effects of having my ovaries removed, I have found harder than anything else.
It is so difficult, and I can't imagine having to make that decision for myself. I was unfortunate in that I didn't get to make the decision. It was made for me while I was in intensive care.
Do you mind me asking what happened?
No. So I'd just given birth to my second child. I ended up going into theatre straight after to have my placenta removed. It got stuck. It also did this with my first baby. So I was kind of expecting, you know, this might happen again, although I wasn't told it would or that it might by any of the professionals. So I ended up in intensive care and things went very, very badly. I ended up almost bleeding out. I was throwing up. I went into shock. I passed out. And all this is going on while I'm awake. I was just under a spinal. I'd not had a general at this stage. Woke up in intensive care and was told that they had made a hole in my womb. They said they'd put a balloon inside to put pressure on the sides. Hopefully the bleeding would stop. But it didn't, you know. So I was in intensive care alone without my baby that I'd just had. So I didn't see her for a good 24 hours. They did bring her for a few moments to see me, and I had photos of her on my bedside. But then the doctor came with the worst news possible. We need to take you back down. We need to get your womb out. We need to get your uterus out. So, that was it. Decision made. I did sign the paperwork, but it was life or death. You know, if you don't have this surgery, then that's it. I'd already had huge blood transfusions, and I was just losing too much. So, that was it.
And all of this when there's a newborn there waiting for you. You've also got another baby as well. How old was Harriet?
She was two. And she, you know, obviously I'd just had Bella, and Bella means everything to me and did back then. But Harriet, my two-year-old at the time, was the one that I felt got me through. It sounds crazy, but when I was in intensive care, I saw her come to me through the curtains and say, Mummy, don't go. And it's crazy, but to this day, that feels so real. I don't know, it was like she teleported herself to me or whatever, but I feel like it made me stronger.
I don't care what anybody says, and I think, you know, there's a lot more we can explore with different things like this, but I believe, I genuinely believe.
Totally.
And I think, you know, it's very... I noticed this as well, when... And people said it to me, and I remember someone saying it to me years and years before, and I didn't ever get it until I had my second, was that your first one, right, you don't ever believe you can love something as much.
It's the one that takes you by surprise, isn't it? Because it's the first time it's ever happened to you. You know, you get past this little human that's grown inside you, and you literally cannot explain that feeling. You can't, can you? And, you know, the second time you think, well, you know it happened the first time. So it's just as special, but it doesn't take you by surprise in the same way.
Yeah. And I think also sometimes it's a little bit delayed, right? Because you're trying to...
It's more practical. You're being a bit more getting on with it. You've got more than one person to look after now.
And you sort of like, you know, they were your all and everything else. And then you've got the second one. But then it does, it goes boom. Yes. And sometimes it hits you even harder. I mean, I do... sometimes thank my lucky stars. I thank my lucky stars anyway that I've got my kids, but I thank my lucky stars I've got a boy and a girl because I can't compare them.
No, that's amazing. Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah, but even with my two, you know, I've got two girls and I still can't compare them. They're so different in every way, and they're just little. You know, they are the icing on the cake. They have made my life.
Absolutely. Well, listen, you know, you've been through so much. And I think, again, you know, you are a strong woman and we're going to meet so many strong people. And we do, we just pick up and we go, don't we? And I don't think we give each other or give ourselves enough time to go, well, blooming done.
I know, yeah, pat yourself on the back. Yes. You know, it's a well-known saying, isn't it? But do we actually do that? No, we don't. We don't, you know, we don't sit there and think, you know, you've done great. You know, it takes someone else to, like this today, you know, we have these chats and memories come flooding back and you think, do you know what? Yeah. That's amazing.
I've done bloody
We've
well.
We've done fantastic.
We bloody well have, right? And again, you know, you meet so many different people in this world and I've learned very much to not get involved in people that are not the right people for me. Oh, no. Yeah, and you know, and so what I've found it is doing is it's bringing me back to the people that I should be around. So thank you, and I'm grateful for
thank
this.
Thank you to you too. It's amazing. I absolutely love being with you. It's we're very similar, I think, in a lot of ways, and you know, our positive outlook on life. Yeah. I think a lot's happened to us that could take that away, but we're still here, and we're like, yes, you know, passion. We've got the passion to keep going and make everything better, you know, as much as we can, you know.
Exactly that, babe, exactly that. And we're not afraid to champion other people and support other people. And it's bloody important, right? Yes. You keep smashing it. And how the hell you still look like you do? I'm not having it. Not having it. But also, something else that in fact, give me a cuddle before I go on. Thank you. I love you loads, honestly. just gorgeous. Aww. And obviously, I think, you know, throughout this entire podcast, I hope that we're going to be seeing a lot of each other.
Yeah, I
think the ideas are flowing.
Yes.
Here we go. but we talk about baby Bella.
Yeah.
Right, who's not so much a baby anymore.
No,
how old is she?
Not. She's 17, just turned. Wow. It really seems like a couple of years ago. It really does.
Damn, it's not funny, is it? Well, she's now doing her own course.
She's doing photography A level, and she wants to get into media production, TV production. You know, she loves all that kind of thing. I don't know if it's because she's always been behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know, as a child, she was modelling. She was part of my model agency, and now she's feeling like she wants to get on the other side of it.
Love that.
Following Becky's footsteps.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Don't you just love it though when you create something that your next generation do want to be involved in? You know, I always say I'll never force anything on my children. Nope. They will do whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And then last night, my eldest, Eva May, she said, right, Mummy, sit down there. She's 10. Right, she said, sit down there. It's time for the May May show. She presented me as a whole style, sort of TV presenter style TV show.
Fantastic.
Like, it is fantastic until I tried to give her a few tips and she wouldn't have any of it.
Oh, no. So, yeah.
Yeah. And
you can't tell me what to do, Mum, but somebody else can help me with it. Even though you've probably got bags more experience. Yeah.
No, well, I've noticed what she does, right? This is very clever. And I think she gets that off my other half and she gets it off my mum, is that she'll say, oh, yeah, I know that. And she'll go away. She'll take on board what you said, come back and present it, but then pretend it's her.
Or me. It's all on my own.
Yeah, I did that. I came up with that. So I'm here today as well. So what am I doing with Bells? How naked have I got to get today, Jo?
So we're just semi-naked today. So you'll be glad to know, or maybe not. I know you enjoy
it. Listen, right, I'm not a Diva Fabulous. I'm very menopausal. I have put on a lot of weight, but I'm all right about it. We're going to sort that out a different day. But I do believe in you, and I believe in your next generation that you'll make me look as best that I can.
Of course, yeah. So Bella's going to take some lovely, beautiful photos of you today for her A-level project. So it's photography A-level, and she's doing a piece on diversity in the media, or, you know, certain people that you don't see in the media, and why not?
So
that's what her piece is going to be on.
I love this.
And you're her first model.
You see? And this, again, it's looping. Yeah. When we did the Bracca Babes calendar, we were always saying, like, you know, why don't they use... I had a big... big thing in my head for a long time. Mm. Thankfully, it's changed. I was seeing people that make mastectomy underwear, not used people that had mastectomies.
Absolutely. I've modelled it myself. I've modelled mastectomy underwear. And, you know, funny you should bring this up. We were just talking about in the office that a few years ago, I used to model for a very large lingerie company. But I was with them from day one in the beginning, and I did their first few shoots, and then I had my hysterectomy. And looked great after my hysterectomy. I lost all the weight because I was so poorly, and I was back in, you know, doing my lingerie modelling and everything again. And then the owner of the company actually turned around to me and said, I don't think we can use you anymore because we can see your scar over our lingerie, can see it over the briefs.
Oh, no.
And, you know, back then, that was like, oh, okay, then, you know, and it was acceptable. Whereas now, can you imagine that now? It just wouldn't happen, you know. Why not show your scars?
Your scars are your, like, they're like your battle wounds. I always say they're your talking points. They're your fact that, you know, you're here and you survived and you've got a story to tell.
Absolutely, you know, they're there to tell a story. And also, why do we all have to look uniform, you know? So what if we have a scar? Everyone's got scars. Why pretend we don't?
Yeah, exactly. That's just what society is trying to sort of say to us. Well, listen, again, I think we'll, you know, we'll have lots more conversations. I'm really intrigued, actually, to get to know, and I'd like to do some more with you because my head's going now. Mm. Right, you're going to realise this through this podcast that Becky comes with up ideas as she's talking in that, you know, sort of how modelling has changed over the years, because, you know, there was a time where you had to be a certain uniform, right? And I feel like it's very much not that anymore.
It's the opposite. Yeah. It's very hard actually for girls that are that kind of typical model look. So I think if I was modelling now, rather than 20 years ago when I did, I'd struggle, you know, because we get told models aren't diverse enough now. So
where is the line?
It's ridiculous, you know. It's where's the happy balance? Yeah. Where's the line? Mm. People are pushing too hard to almost be diverse. You know, why do you have to prove it? Why do you have just be it?
Yeah.
You know?
I think the same goes with jobs, and I'm sure people won't sort of mind me saying this. It's like, why does being diverse make you better at a job or make you more employable? Surely you want to be employed because you are the best for the job. And I'm quite sure that most people that are listening to this that sort of fit within that say exactly the same. Mm. Employ me because I'm good.
Yeah.
Don't employ me because I fit your tick box criteria.
You want it on merit. You want to deserve it, don't you? And you know, like you say, you don't want it just because you fit something that they've not got at that time.
They've got to tick a box.
It's quite sad, yeah.
100%. Well, listen, this has opened up a can of worms, and I'm sure we can carry this on. So, right, we're going in there. Right, I'm excited about this. It's been a while, apart from when I had the photos with Mum. But I just know this is going to start something off. So come on then, let's go and get this photo shoot done.
Let's do it.